world for the wicked people. Okay, so over here, if the pasuk over here is referring to the living, God over here is being misspelled that he should not die. He's saying very simply, Hashem, do not abandon me, do not give up on me, do not allow me to die. Restore my health. Do not allow my neshama to be abandoned and to descend into the grave. And do not allow your pious one to see the grave. No, it's a repetition. Over here, it's a way of being misspelled. Hashem, my time has not yet come. Do not allow me to die. And if you want to learn this pasuk, refers to he already died. Referring to the neshama. So over here we're dealing with very esoteric things. What exactly happens to the neshama in the other world? And he is being mispalel that in the other world his neshama should not be abandoned. Obviously, we do not know if these two pasukim are referring to what takes place to the neshama after the neshama leaves the body. Neshama leaves the body, so then there's a lot going on in the other world that no one came back to tell us what happens. And David over here is saying that do not allow my neshama in the other world to suffer. Suffer. There are many different forms of suffering for the neshama. The neshama should be taken care of. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Todi'eni Arachayat. Now let's see the Rashi. The Rashi here is Lachem Libi. Libi Samach Libi Lefi Shani Batuach Ki Lo Sazet Nafshi L'Shol, because I am certain that you will not abandon my neshama to the grave. Shaharei Ba'avoyin Ba'avoyin Aver Gedolim Shohei Sabiyadi Bisartani, because of a very great aver which was Biyadi Bisartani Gam Hashem Ha'avir Chatoscha. So double here according to Rashi Kalvachomer Shemi Atol Lo Sazveni Lo Sur, certainly you shall not abandon me Lo Sur Mimcha, to depart from you. So again, over here, Rashi, we are saying something a little bit different. That David over here, one more time. Shabavoin avero gidoylo, shohisa biyodi bisartani gam Hashem hevir chatosicha. David sinned. What was the sin? David of Hashem, is that what we're referring to? I do not know. I'm assuming now, let's assume that David Hashem, and the Navi told him at the end, the Navi told him that in Shmuel Beis, Hashem said to him, in the name of the Navi, do not worry, Hashem has forgiven you for your sin. Therefore, if Hashem has forgiven me for my sin, kal v'choymer, certainly, shemei atah, from here on, lo yisazveini, do not abandon me, lo sur mincha, to depart from you. Okay, so I'm not really sure. There's a lot more going on here which I'm not aware of, but he's making a kal v'chomer. What's the kal v'chomer exactly? If Hashem told me through an avera, in a very great sin, you're not going to abandon me, certainly for a minor infraction, do not abandon me. Now over here, what's the minor infraction he's referring to? It doesn't say. In Shmuel Beis, it says there, in Shmuel Beis, Pasuk Gimel, there it was describing an avera gedoyla, a very great transgression. And Hashem used the terminology that I will not abandon you. I will not, if Hashem's not going to abandon him for an avera gedoyla, certainly Hashem should not abandon me for a minor infraction. Okay, we need obviously more background to this, which I don't know. Maybe we have over here, I don't recall, maybe at some point we'll get more clarification. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Todi'eni Arachayim L'Shon Asirhu, Ve'eni L'Shon Tefillah. Okay, now this is a very complicated sugya. Okay, this is the machlokes, what this pasuk means. Pasuk Yud Aleph, let's read the pasuk. Todi'eni, make it known to me, Arachayim, the last pasuk of this mizmar, make it known to me the ways of life, and Soivas Semoches Esponecha, the ultimate satisfaction. The soiva smachis, the ultimate satisfaction es ponecha, of seeing your face, ni'imois, with pleasantness, b'mincha, along your right side, netzach, forever. Okay, these are a lot of words which are very mystical. Make it known to me the ways of life, the ultimate satisfaction of joy, soiva, satiation of joy. What's the joy? The joy is esponecha, seeing your ponim. Now those who are learning Masechta, Masechta Chagiga, learning about the sugya of Alil L'Regel, three times a year, this week's parsha, in fact, is Shalosh Pyamim Bashana Yerekol Zuchur Chasmashem Lakacha Aliyah L'Regel. You come to be seen. Okay? You don't come to see, you come to be seen by Hashem. The Gemara makes a drasha. We read it Yeroeh, which means to be seen. The Gemara says, literally, if we would manipulate the dots, it's Yireh. You come to see. And the Gemara makes numerous drashas. See that the same way Hashem sees you, that's how you shall be seen. That's how you shall see. That's how you shall Yireh Yeroeh. You shall see. So one drush, just like Hashem sees man with two eyes, even though Hashem is not a physical body, but symbolically Hashem has two eyes, so too when the person comes to see, he shall come to the Ali Regal only if he has two functioning eyes. What? And the other drush, the Gemara talks about, Ma'ani b'chinam, af ata b'chinam. Just as when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he looks at us, he doesn't charge. There's no charge for Hashem to see you. If you go to a doctor today, the doctor will not see you unless you have insurance.
Hashem does judge. He wants you to bring it, but you can't go.
No, the Gemara says, because the lo yeru ponai reikam, we have a contradiction. The Gemara asks your question. Mitzad echad lo yeru ponai reikam. It's a price of admission. Mitzad sheni, it's yere yera'eh. When Hashem sees, there's no price. Hashem always looks at man. And so too, when we come to see Hashem, there's no price. So how does the Gemara answer the question? The first day of Yom Tov, you got to pay. But the second day of Yom Tov, it's free. It's free. Okay, something along those lines.
On Yom Tov,
Interesting. Orachaim, that's why they put that positive. Very interesting. Okay, very interesting. So there is such a principle. There is such a principle of seeing, of Yireh Yeroeh. Okay. So how do we get into this? How do we get into this over here? That over here it says over here in the end of the pasuk of Soivas Smoches Esponecha. There is such a principle of coming to see Hashem, being in the presence of the Panim of Hashem. Okay, I don't know, this is very mystical stuff. Ni'imos pleasantness. Now notice that this word ni'imos over here is being repeated because we had it in the beginning of the pasuk when David says Chavolim, Chavolim, Nafluli Bani'imim. So it says already this expression of Ni'imim in the beginning of the Nizma pasuk Vav. Chavolim, my portion, fell to me Bani'imim with pleasantness. And here it says, Soivas Smoches Esponecha Ni'imois, with pleasantness be mincha. Again, the addition, why I'm not exactly sure, but there's a much bigger issue here, and that is, what exactly is going on over here in this passage? So over here, the Mitzvah of the Rashi says something very interesting, which needs a lot of explanation, and he says, Tod'ini Orechayim, L'shoin Osidhu, V'einoi L'shoin Tefillah. If you would read this at face value, you would assume David here is praying. He's making a request. May I merit that the day shall come where you will make it known to me the ways of life. In other words, in the next world. There's some type of, maybe in this world, whatever it means. It's a form of prayer, make it known to me the ways of life, the correct path to take in life. Make it known to me. Grant me satisfaction. Soivas Smoches Esponecha. And Imois B'mincha Netzach. Make all of these things. Make these things. Grant these things to me. Along comes Rashi. And Rashi says, you wrong. Incorrect. It's interesting. The next word is Parag Yitzayim. The next parag begins with Tefillah L'Zah. Okay, that's the first time we have the word Tefillah. Until now, we never had the word Tefillah in Tehillim. The first time we're going to encounter the word tefillah is going to be in Mizmor Yud Zayin. And over here, Rashi over here is saying over here, don't jump the gun. This is not a prayer. This is a statement of fact. That in the future, L'shoin Osidhu, V'einei L'shoin Tefillah. Let's read the next. We'll come back to this. We'll explain more in a moment. But let's read the next words of Rashi. Seva smachis, simcha she'ein lakeis. Okay, I'm going to read it. So this is going to just wrap up the Rashi so we get a better appreciation. And then the next words are seva smachis, simcha she'ein lakeis v'sichla. What does it mean, seva? A very interesting translation. V'achalta v'savata. You'll be satisfied. Satisfied. Satiated. So what does that mean? Simcha, over here we have the same word, soiva, a satisfaction of simachos, a simcha, she'ein lo kates, the sichla, he has simcha shel osid. A soiva simachos, there's no limit. It's unlimited, and there is no end. There is no end, and there is no limit, is the simcha of the future. Okay, well, that's a very interesting concept. Next, eskonecha, Simachos asher lefanecha bekat hakareva loch. Your ponim. What does that mean? The simachos asher that are before you, bekat hakareva loch, in the group that is near you. These are mystical things. In the la'asalava, in the next world, the person, no one lives forever. We always get reminders that we're not going to be around forever. We shouldn't invest too much in this temporary world. Life is very short. And there in the next world, there are different. Not everyone is the same. Not everyone is the same. There are different groups. There are kitois. There are groups that have more benefits, more perks, more rights than other groups. And a person in this world, obviously, this is a dvar pshutim, earns his keep. This world is a prozdar. What you do in this world grants you access. Puts you in a different place in the next world. There are kitois, and David is asking that he should be in the kat, in the group that is near Hashem. Obviously, we don't know what this means, but certainly there are big benefits in being in the kat that is closer to Hashem.
We see a couple of times where David HaMelech wants to get into the elite group, the inner circle. He wants to be the fourth of the Avos. We see in the Shbizin, we see something like that.
Music.
We have music coming through the speaker?
Yeah.
Okay. So we have David here. Okay, it's important to realize that David, we are distracted. Baruch Hashem, live in America. Baruch Hashem, in America, everyone is equal. Everyone is equal, and anyone can be the president of the United States. There's no limitation. Everyone has
equal.
All men are created equal.
But some are more equal than others.
Exactly. So we are challenged. We are misled. Not everyone is equal. And especially in the next world, not everyone is equal. And what a person does in this world is going to make a very big difference where he's in the next world. And over here, Rashi over here says it, the Farish, the double of you is asking, Ponech, I want to be Ponech, I want to be in that group. There is a group called Ponech. Okay, what is your group? Simachos asher lefanecha, bekat hakerei velach. In the kat that is near you. I read recently, who did I hear this from? Recently, either heard or I read it, is that the Klezim Megureba. Someone went into the Klezim Megureba, and he did the Klezim Megureba very big chesed, incredible chesed. And the Klezim Megureba wanted to thank him. So he called him over, and he says, you know, you did something for me that's really above and beyond. I owe you, big time. What can I do for you? Give me something I can do for you to repay you for your kindness. So the person, very strangely, very bizarre statement, he says, Rebbe, I don't want anything in this world. But in the next world, I want to be with you. That's what he said to Klezim Megureba. So the Klezim Megureba says to him, impossible. You won't be with me. What do you mean? Like he says, I have a number, and you don't. Sorry, but there's nothing I can do. It's not a Hefkevel in the next world. In this world, anyone can do whatever, you can go wherever you want. I got a number. You don't got a number? Sorry. That's it. There's nothing more to say. What can I do for you in this world? It's a powerful statement, no? There's a lot to be said about that. Okay, a lot to be said about that idea. In any event, over here, this is the scary Rashi. Now, let's go back to the previous Rashi. We'll try to understand Rashi over here. It's very complicated. Before we do the Rashi, let's look over here at the Mitzvah David. Again, we did it already before. Let's review it over here and see the contrast. Pasuk Yud Aleph in the Mitzvah David says, Todieni tein bi deil aleches bo'erach hameviyah ha'chaim ha'nitzchim. Grant me. You see, tein li Todieni, the Mitzudos obviously disagrees. There's a clear disagreement between the Mitzudos David and Rashi as to the mindset of Pasuk Yud Aleph.
Yeah, this is a female.
Tainly, grant me. I want something. Tainly, it's a prayer. You can't deny the fact that the Mitzudos David is a prayer. Tain bideya l'leches bo'erech hameviyah ha'chaim ha'nitzchim liyos soveya. Okay, a request. Rashi says, I don't know what you're talking about. Even the Rashi came much earlier than the Mitzvot. Rashi says, L'shoin osin huve enoi l'shoin tefillah. Now, what does that mean exactly? So look at the Sifsei Zikhenin, as Rav Mordechai pointed out. Todin Rechayim, we perish Rashi Zal, L'shoin osin huve enoi l'shoin tefillah, atkan l'shoinoi. Return alone. I'm reading the Sifsei Zikhenin on page 126, right on the right side of Rashi. It's like the Sifsei Chachamim, in Chumash.
By the way, I see Rashi. Why he said it? Because it's a continuation from the previous pasuk.
Right.
Right. Not azov Rashi b'tishor. Not itel chasicha l'ruot chashachat. Ela to the end of our chayim. Ata mevi oti le'atid. But isn't that also a tefillah?
Even though we're going to connect to the previous pasuk, but it still has a flavor of it's a prayer. Let's because look.
It's not a prayer. It's not a prayer.
The previous.
Let's see how he explains it.
Connect this pasuk, the previous pasuk. The shiur ha-psukim kachu, the shiur means, and the flow, in this context, where the shiur means, and this is the flow of the psukim, this is what it means. L'chei nevor samach libi, my heart shall rejoice, l'fi shani batuach, I am confident. Ki lo yisazad nafshi l'shol, v'lo yoid, el shani batuach, I'm confident. Shetodiyeni orechayim, v'ayin rashi zal posik tes, l'fichach, eine l'shoim tefila, v'kal lo havin fine. Todiyeni, now, in other words, This what Rashi here says in Pasuk over here is really a revelation of what it says back in Pasuk Tes. In other words, let's go Pasuk Tes. Because the way we translated the words in Pasuk Tes simply is, it is a prayer. Lochain, therefore, Samach libi vayegul kavoidi, afisa yishkol levetach, fine. Kiloi sa zoiv, now, it's very easy to understand Pasuk Yud to be understood, even according to Rashi, although Rashi himself will clarify, is a prayer. Ki loy sa'azov, how did we translate Pasuk Yud on a very simple level? Pasuk Yud is a prayer. Hashem, I did an avera. Hashem, help me. Don't abandon me. Don't decide not to forgive me. Do not allow me to die. Isn't Pasuk Yud a prayer?
Key, therefore.
There are many translations of the word kiva. Wouldn't you want to suggest that the Pasuk Yud is a prayer? Ki loy sa'azov nafshi l'shol. Do not abandon my neshama. Do not allow it to descend into the grave. Lo sitein chasidcha l'roi shochas. We would assume that Pasuk Yud is a prayer. And then comes along Pasuk Yud Aleph, and then Todieni, and once Pasuk Yud is a prayer, Pasuk Yud Aleph is also a prayer. Rashi is confusing us, because Rashi in Pasuk Yud Aleph says, oh, Yud Aleph is not a prayer. If Yud Aleph is not a prayer, it sure sounds like a prayer to me. No, it's not a prayer.
Even Yud.
What? Oh!
Confidence.
Oh, so therefore, if Pasuk Yud Aleph is not a prayer, because you want to connect with the Pasuk Yud. But wait a minute, Pasuk Yud is also a prayer. No, we got to go back to Pasuk Tes. The only way we can save Pasuk Yud Aleph from not being a prayer is to go back to Pasuk Tes and make that into a statement. There's a ripple effect. There's collateral damage here. There's collateral damage. We have to go all the way back to Pasuk Tes. Lachain, David, there is everything now is a statement of fact. Everything. And that's why it's go back and go. And that's why now you have a much greater appreciation of what it says in the Rashi on Pasuk Tes. When we read Pasuk Tes, we just skimmed over it. It doesn't really make much sense. Lachain, Samach, Libi, Lefi, Shani, Lefi. That's where everything really starts from. Because I am confident that Kiloi Sazev Nafshi Lishol. Therefore, the conclusion is as follows. This is all part of the Kal V'Chomer. Yeah. Everything is a statement. Pasuk Tes, Pasuk Yud, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Right, all goes back. Look at the Rashi, Pasuk Tes. Lefi.
Those two words are the key words for Rashi.
Lochein.
Usually, when you pray,
Lachem
and then
key. So those two are everything now. So you can't look at Pasuk Yud Aleph in isolation. You have to go look at Pasuk Yud Aleph as part of the bigger picture with the Pasuk test. Lefi Shani Batuach Kilo Sazev Navshi Lishol. Because I'm confident. Why? Because you told me that you forgive me. Because Shari Ba'avoy Navera Gedoyel Shoysab Yodi Bisart Hani Gam Hashem Hevir Chatoscha. Because of great sins you have announced, so therefore, Kal V'Chomer, I am thus confident this is what will be. It will be that my heart will rejoice, my kavod will rejoice, my flesh will rest in peace, you will not abandon my neshama, I'm confident that you're not going to let me see the geshachas, I'm confident that Todi'eni Arachayim, I'm confident I'm going to have Seva Simoches, I'm confident there's going to be Ni'imois B'mincha Netzach. The word batuach, the word betach, the word is, goes back on everything. La betach. Betach goes on everything. It goes on everything. I'm betach on everything here in this pasuk. It's quite a good life. When a person lives with confidence, you got a good life. You have confidence that you're not going to die. You're going to have simcha. You're going to have kavod, yogel kavodi. You're going to have soivas simochis. You're going to have Ni'imois, the mincha netzach. It's a good way to live, though. It's a good way to live, to have confidence. Confidence that to be optimistic. You don't have to worry. It's like a chosid. At night, I learned daf yomi, a very small chabur at night. I learned daf yomi. In our Rishimish, we have the asat mechosid. Very geshmacha guy. It's a real. And the whole shir, I battle him. I make jokes with him. The difference between a chosid, and a litva. Rabbi Shulman, I want to thank you for the beautiful hesped. Bessie, it was very meaningful. Bessie would come here almost every day. Before Corona, she would come up to get signatures. She would come every day, so we got to know her. She became part of the Chavura, and it was very meaningful. You're very happy. Thank you very much. Simples. All right. So here we have this pasuk of a betach. This sounds like a typical chassid. We have all these jokes with chassidim. I always tell them the chiluk between me and you. You wear a garatol and I wear a tie. The garatol is mavdil between the lev and the erva. The tie is a litvish garatol. It's marvel between the lev and the moyach. It goes on and on, but he knows how to really get me. Like I told him a good vart. I said you like the vart. He says for a litvach it's not there. Okay, but in any event, this sounds like a chassidish. This is like a chassidish psuk mule. He's betach. You're happy. Everything is good. Very little chassidim are very optimistic about life. What?
But he still needs showing. He still needs to be shown
The right way.
To the inner servant.
Yes, okay, but I'm confident. He said, I am confident that I will be taken by the hand and see the ultimate joy. Soiva
Semochis. You don't want to say that expression? You know, the Rebbech of a Rebbe said to Rav Aaron Kotler, when he came in and spoke to him in learning, he said, not bad.
Not bad. Okay. Oh no, you're referring to his balabas. What do you do? Who Rav Aaron Kol, he went, who did he went to go
Rav
see?
Balabas is not bad.
He went, okay. he says, what do you do? He said, Rav Aaron Kol, I was embarrassed in front of who is it? In front of the Rav Aaron Kol? Rav Aaron Kol, he went to the Rav Aaron, he went in, so he said, what do you do? He said, I'm just the balabas. So he goes, yeah, you're balabas. Not bad for balabas. Correct. We say this part of the Nusach HaTfilah and Hoshana Rabbah, that's correct. Right. B'mincha, correct.
Love like
those. These words.
At the end of one of the Tehillim.
Right. Ni'imois B'mincha Netzach. These are very mystical words. Correct. Why is over there? I don't know. But it's true. So over here, this is like a person who's very, Samach Libi Vayel Kavoydi, a person who is such a person has nothing to worry about. Okay, the Litvaks are always afraid that the next moment lightning is going to come out of the sky and knock them out. Okay, Chassidim, they're very optimistic, everything is good, positive, not to worry about anything. Okay, you need, obviously in life, you need to have a balance. Okay, so I want to put some other things on here, is the word Seivas Semoches. So there are certain people that are very into Diktuk. And they'll chap you on everything. For example, if you say, you know, the Baal Kore, they'll correct you. There's no such thing as the Baal Kore. It's the Baal Kiriya. Okay? It's not Sholoim Bayis. It's Sholoim Bayis. It's not Amar Abaye. It's Amar Abaya. It's Abaye. It's not Mesechta Yuma. Mesechta Yoma. Okay? There's a long, long... It's not Shabbosim. It's Shabbosois. The list goes on and on and on and on. And one of the pet peeves of the people who are very into these, into correcting
anyone,
you,
and anyone corrects you.
I know. We had this discussion. It's you have told me that the truth
and
is it's Yuma.
Aramaic is Yuma.
Yuma. Okay. But Yuma. You have to tell these. There are a lot of things that we you know. Whatever, there's a lot to be said about it. But one of the things that this class of people, which mean very very well. And some things they're probably right, is they're going to chap you on Simchas. Simchas by Ali Yidin. Simchas. They're going to say there's no such word, Ya'am Oretz. What kind of, where do you come from? You come from the moon. It's Smachot. Smachot.
The difference between Simchas and Smachot.
Simchas
are more enjoyable.
Simchas are more enjoyable. Simachot. Now, it appears. There's no. They are absolutely right. As far as I know, I don't know anything. But as far as I know, there is no such word as simchas. Simchas. Everything about that word is totally wrong. Maybe not. I don't know. But
it's colloquial Yiddish.
Colloquial Yiddish. But they don't like colloquial. They don't like colloquial Yiddish. They don't like anything colloquial. Everything has to be on the books.
Nothing in linguistics.
Very machbit, but there is a problem with saying, wishing upon a person, simochos. And the problem is, there is a mesechta in this mesechta's ketanois called, it's a euphemism. And it's not just a mesechta, it is cited extensively in rabbinic literature. It says in mesechta smochot. You had even Rashi in the Daf Yomi only two days ago. In Evel Rabosi, mesechta smochot. So, unfortunately, today many of us were not very steeped in learning, all the nuances of Chazal. But it seems that years ago, our predecessors, some of them were very big Talmidei Chachamim, and it was anathema to say to another person the correct grammatical expression, "I wish upon you simochos," because if someone would say that to them, it's a curse. Because since in rabbinic literature it is a euphemism, joy, when you're dealing with death, you don't want to say avelus. So, you know, like a person who's blind, you say he's sagi nohor. He has an abundance of light. He sees very well. It's a euphemism. So you don't want to go use what Chazal have a euphemism for death. And the euphemism for death is the word simachos.
Nesechta simachos. Every other euphemism, you use its regular meaning. Why make an exception here?
What do you mean?
You don't say Zagi Nahar to describe a blind person.
You do.
You say a
Suma. It depends on the context. The Gemara, says many times he was a Sage Nahar.
In a specific context.
Right? It depends. You cannot generalize. But you know, I there are a lot of these type of things. Like I once had a whole rebuttal, a very long rebuttal to many of these type of corrections. Like the Baal Kore. It's Amarat, it's the Baal Kriya. So this person rebuttal is like, yeah, what about the Baal Tokea? The Baal Tokea. There is absolutely no difference between the term Baal Tokea and the Baal Kore. And you never hear a person, you almost never hear people launching a war against the term called Baal Tokea. Many people say the Baal Tokea, and you don't hear people going to battle. When it comes to the Baal Kore, they go to battle. Comes to the Baal Tokea, you don't hear. What's the difference? There is no difference. It's just that it's an expression. Don't get worked up over it. it's redundant. The Kore in Shulk. What?
Baal Tokea is accepted by everybody.
Baal Tokea. No, that's okay. No, that would be no good. The Baal Mispal, the Mispal Tefillah is the... No, I think that's good. The Koire means the one who reads. The word Koire includes, there's a redundancy. The Koire is automatically the Baal Koire. He's the reader. So to say the Baal, it's redundant. If you say the Baal Kriya, the master of the reading, that's already grammatically correct. But who says that's the correct connotation of the reading? The Iker is the reader. Is it the reader or the reading? All right, all of this, I don't want to get into it. Let's not waste time on this.
Yeah,
but the, what?
It's funny. I was in Florida. I went to the doctor one morning. Said the Magid Shir, the Rav there, said, Masechus Yuma.
He
said, is anybody here who's mocked about saying Masechus Yoma? And raised my
Well, you got to go talk to the colonel. You got to go talk to our colonel here, Harav, Dr. Colonel Cohen.
In one other incident. I'll tell you privately. But he asked me where I learned. So
Howard Mandaic Dictionary has Yuma.
Yuma.
No, we've been through this.
Yuma. Okay, let's go further. But over here, I want to point over here. Soivas Samoches Esponecha. So over here, look at the word. It's very interesting over here, the word in this context. In this context, it says Soivas Simochos. Here it means joy. It means joy. It's not a euphemism. In this context, in the Bible, and over here in Tehillim, it's used joy. It's not used in reference to death. What's spooky to me, though, is that this mizmar is the most common mizmar that is said by a Leviah. Okay? And everything here about this, everything over here in this Levaya deals with, everything this is according to one Mahalach deals with the Neshama. It deals with death. As the beginning of the Mizmar according to one parish of Rashi is, Nichtam LeDavid Shamreini Kel Ki Chasidvach, guard me, Hashem guard me. This refers to the Neshama. The Neshama over here at the time after it leaves the body is in a state of discomfort. It is scared of what is coming next. Amart La Hashem, Hashem Ot. And according to what we've learned in Rashi and the Netzudas, I command you, my neshama, I command you to declare regarding Hashem the following. So the whole flow of this nizma, according to most of the Mepharshim, refers to the neshama. We're dealing with death. And then when you get to the very, very end, Soiva Semoches Esponecha. It's true that the simple meaning over here is that it's a statement of fact. Chayim means the Chayim of Olam Haba. And the simochos is the soivas simochos is the simcha that the neshama is going to experience when it's before in the olamos in shemayim. But it's used, the simcha here in this pasuk is used about a joy that the neshama experiences in death. Soiva Samacha, says Panecha, Rashi says the simcha, the neshama, experiences after it leaves the body and is in the next world and is the kat. It's sitting by the kat, the exclusive group that gets to sit before Hashem. You don't want to wish a person to prematurely go into that kat. You wish a person, you should have smachot. And now, so number one when it comes to the chazal. Chazal, it's mesechta smachos are the laws of avelos. So right away, it doesn't sound good. Number two, if you want to go to the biblical usage of the word, I mean in Tanakh and Tehillim, oh, smachos, that triggers a machshava. Soivas smachos es panecha. People go to funerals all the time, and they hear them say this pasuk in the beginning of the soivas smachos. What does that mean? After you die, you should merit to have an unlimited joy of being in Hashem's presence. Yeah, but you know, I'm not ready to go yet. Give me a couple of years. Give me a couple of decades. Give me a couple of centuries. I'm not ready to go yet. So don't wish me smachot. I'm not ready to go yet. I'm not ready to experience that joy of the neshama being nenef from the ziv hashchina in the presence of Hashem. I got time here. I got a mission here. Eventually, no one lives forever. Eventually. So I'm just trying to just use this as a yeah. Springboard.
I wonder if this word is used anywhere else.
Don't be from. Oh, listen, you don't have to listen to me. Obviously, I think it's not. But this is so, you know, this is a very popular mizmar. Everyone knows nichtam lov, nichtam lov. This is something which you go elavayis ma'aseh mechol yom. This is something. The point I want to make is, you know, over the years I grew up in Baruch Hashem in a modern world and in a very Yeshivish world. I saw a lot of both, and I saw a lot of conflict. A lot of friction between different types of worlds. Baruch Hashem, I was zeicher to see a lot of these things, and I saw a lot of this friction in you know precision in grammar and in linguistics and colloquialism, all this type of stuff, and you know it's shocking when you the more you learn. Some things actually have a reason for being wrong. There are things that are you know, they're absolutely wrong. And then there are things that are wrong for a reason. And there's a history. And there's a history behind. And they said to him, Rav Shulman, something very, very nice yesterday. I love what he said about Emes. He said from Rav Chutner, he said a really good line. I really like what he said from Rav Chutner, Rabbi Shulman, by the Levi yesterday. He said in Yiddish, I don't know the Yiddish, but in English, he basically says that Emes is such a beautiful and pure thing. It's not kedai that you should use it all the time. Something that you know you don't want your Shabbos hat during the week. You don't want your Shabbos hat during the week because you don't want it to get ruined. You save it for Shabbos. MS is such an edelah. It's such a precious. Don't use it all the time. Don't. You save the MS for special occasions. Special occasions. No, so he say whatever he's saying about it, one of the Maya was talking about her. He used it in a certain context, but it's a very interesting idea. Is you're right. There are God-given truths. There's the way to be accurate and perfect. By Kriya Satoira, you got to be on the mark. There's no room for mistake when it comes to Kriya Satoira. You mila el milara shvanosh shvanoch yimapikes. You got to be perfect. Okay, you got to be perfect. There's no room to make any mistakes. But there's something called a colloquial expression, and there are things that talk don't make any sense. And why? I don't know why. Some of these things you write are total. It's just pure ignorance. Absolutely, there's a lot of ignorance out there in the world, as self included, full of ignorance. But there are things that are different for a reason. For a reason,
and it's
yeah.
Right. All Kisvei Yatim have Zecher Amalek. Not one has Zecher Amalek.
Right, okay, that's a separate thing, right?
And it has a Munach. if it has a munach under the.
There's no other place, right? Right.
Okay,
that's enough. Maybe we'll talk about it. He said, an amazing idea that I never heard that before. That's an incredible, fascinating thing about the munach. That is a fascinating insight. Never came across that before. The munach. We'll talk about that maybe another time. That's good. It's another topic. But here
I wouldn't allow them to say
zecher. Okay, now we spoke about that. I know. Have the word zecher with the munach. Okay, so here we have this one. This is a very powerful word. Soiva simochos. It's a beautiful word. It means the satisfaction of joy, and literally, it means joy. We all want joy. This is the goal. We all want to have joy. For whatever reason, people have a custom. They say simchas. They say it in the le'el. They don't say it in the le'ra. I guess because it's Yiddish. In Yiddish, everything is mila'el. And they have a word which is not a real word. And I've heard a number of times people mock the word simchas. And I'm offended. I'm not offended. I don't really care. But you know, there's a reason. There's a reason. There's mesechta smachos. We had that in the Daf Yomi.
The Sfaradim say that, smachot.
They do say it.
They say
Sfaradim. I don't know if it's a Sfaradim who say it. I think it's more of a modern Hebrew, which has spread to certain segments of society. And it was not traditionally used, this word. And the question is, why not? Well, our ancestors were ignorant. They didn't know the correct grammar for simcha, smachos. And like I told you, there's something called Masechta Smachos, which is cited extensively in the laws, dealing with the laws of Avelis, which unfortunately everyone deals with.
And
Rabbanim learned, the people who have to know the halacha, it happens, unfortunately, it's a way of life. And then you have a pasuk like the Soiva Smachos, which is said by funerals, and in this context it means in the next world. So I'm just putting the dots together. L'chaira, people don't want to say this word. This word to them is you know, it doesn't exactly conjure up the best machshava.
This is not the reason why they say simchas. They don't know the word smachor. They know the word simcha.
Yeah.
But when you make it plural, you end.
This is exactly what I'm trying to say. No. You see, this is exactly what I'm trying to reject. So to suggest. You're saying that it's pure amaratzis. Yes, I don't think it's pure amaratzis. I don't want to...
Spoken language is organic, but it changes.
Orthodox Jews are not organic. Orthodox Jews generally they ask a lot of questions, and they try to do the right thing, generally. I agree there are a lot of foolish things that we do that have no source and are just from ignorance. But generally speaking, you have to assume that Orthodox Jews are good people, and you have to be dandam lekavschus. And it's extremely common in the Orthodox circles to, when a person wishes someone else, you should have in your family joy and blessing and nachas, they slip in the word simchos. And they don't say simochos. And when a person studies the language, they come to the conclusion that it's ignorance. It's just ignorance. There's the word simcha, and they want to turn that word into a plural, so they, on their own, they do something foolish. I am suggesting that that's not the reason why it came about, such a word. It came about because to say the word, the correct word, conjures in the mind a bad feeling. A hara. It reminds them of the laws of Avelos. It reminds them of a funeral where you say Soiva Simochos Esponecha. And therefore, colloquially, they break the rules and they deliberately created a word that doesn't exist just in order to avoid the a bad feeling. Yeah.
So when you're at the house of another, and you say you should only have, I guess that you wouldn't say you shouldn't have smuggles from now on. That might be a problem.
Chazal gave us, I once heard a rabbi speak about this. He says, I don't understand why when you go to a Beis Avel, people say, Hamokim Yinachim Eschem, Soshan, and then they have to say something else. Who asked you? Chazal told you what to say. They gave you what to say. Why do you feel the need to enhance what they told you to say? This is your departing words. You
can because say, it's the different than Hargan.
What?
They're different than Hargan.
Okay, so say that. But people, they conclude Hamaki Menachem, and then they go on and on, and then they do other things. You sat it for an hour, giving the words of Nechama. The final words are supposed to be Hamaki Menachem. Why is the people feel necessary to add more to it? Maybe there is a reason. I don't know. I'm just throwing out some ideas. There also people say V'lo Yosifun L'da'avot. Okay, so that's a very dangerous thing to say. That's a very dangerous pasuk to say, because that pasuk is only supposed to be said V'lo Yosifun L'da'avot. L'da'avot. It means to have tzar, to have pain. Anymore. No more tzar. That's a very dangerous thing to say. Because you're only supposed to say that Rahman was when the person loses his second parent. It says the Farish in the Hagim, the Avelis, I don't know, it says it in a lot of different Svarim. People who say that there is such a minute, there is a Makar for that, to say that Pasuk. But that Pasuk, the source that tells us that Pasuk, it should only be said when the person, Rahman al son, loses a second parent. Because if a person says that when he loses one parent and he still has another parent, and you say that, that's not a bracha. Because if a person will say that you should never see l'da'ava od, that means that he will predecease his parents. And that's not a good thing. That pasuk is supposed to be said only when a person loses a second parent, not a first parent. I remember when one of the people I know who's one of the biggest, you know, biggest critics in correcting you know, all these terms, machot, and the Valkriya, I lost my first parent. No, he's a very good person. I love this person. I'm very good, very good friend with him. But when he said he came to Menachem Avos, so he said the lo so sifun l'da ava ol. I didn't say anything that, but I have, because I was an Avos, I happened to learn some of the halakhas right then and there. And I said, oh, you know, this one you messed up on. I didn't say that to him. Okay, but I'm just throwing this out because we have the word smachar. Okay, look, I want to finish up. We have a few more minutes. We're going to go further on Yud Zan next because we have to move. We have a lot more things to discuss. We're going to move ahead. I just want to wind down for a few minutes. Let me select some things that I marked off on this in the Mefarshim that I feel are important. Okay, let's go to the Malbim. There is a Malbim here that's a very important Malbim. Pasuk Hashem Enoschelki. Okay, I want to go to that Malbim. Hashem Enoschelki. Go back. And every time we can salvage here to discuss a few short things. It's on Pasuk Hey. It's on page 122. Page 122. Hashem Enoschelki. Hashem, you are my portion. On the bottom of 122. The Eini Nosun Tachas Marechas Avikoyches Ateva, the Yesh Hevdel Bein Chelek Uvein Kois. Okay, this is a classic Malbim. The Malbim is the ultimate source. Differentiates between two words which mean the same thing. Shakois Uraka Chelek Shehechin Ha'odam Le'atzmoy Alpi Hachonosoy. V'achelek v'akois, v'achelek v'achelek v'akois B'shove. Okay, so what does he say? One with a benachel v'benachel in the kois shakois. So chelik means what a person is given to him by somebody else. A kois is your own keep. Then he goes, what is a goyrol? A goyrol connotes that what you have is not the same as what someone else has. When you use the word a chelik, it has a connotation of everyone gets the same amount. Everyone, we have 10 people. We're gonna divide $100 into 10 parts, $10 a piece. We're an army, spoils of war. We go out into the war, we're victorious, we have spoils of war, we come back with $100. There are 10 soldiers. What do? We take the $100, we divide into 10 parts, everyone gets a chelek. A chelek. Okay, that's called a chelek. Then it's called a kois. What's a kois? A kois is I went out on a special mission. This is mine. It is no one else. This is, no one else gets this. What is a goyel? A goyel is a very incredible thing when you think what a goyel is. When you divide something by a goyel, it's not equal. One person will get $1 and someone else will get $50. And everyone else will get something in between. Chelek is equality. Okay? It's like the Senate and Congress. So this, the House of Representatives. The House of Representatives is proportional. It's proportional to the population. In the Senate, it's two senators per state. Whether your state has millions of people, whether your state has five people. Two senators per state. Checks and balances. Try to create some type of checks and balances. So that a goyel is where there is inequality. Inequality. This is your lot in life. Some people are super wealthy. Some people can barely make ends meet. Can't even make ends meet. That is called a goyel. A chelek. You get the same social security check. Not really. Not true. It's not true. But I'm saying you get the same. You get this. Everyone is exactly equal. What is koisi? This is what I've earned. This is my hard work. My hard labor. I have this and you don't. Because I invested. I worked hard and you did not. These are very powerful terms. Okay. That further over here. So he goes on to say an incredible Habshanis pasuk. Hashem minos chelki. Every living creature, every man is created equal. There's some truth to that. There's a pasuk right here, and then it says v'choisi. But every person, the people who work hard get more. They move up in society. V'choisi. And then there are people that can earn more. You go and you work hard, you daven, you learn, you toil in holy matters, you have more. Gimel. Then you get a matana. There's a goyro. No one knows why. Every person has a different lot. Siyata d'shmaya. Some people just Hashem gives them more. Hashem gives them less. It just happens. Gimel yikal me Hashem matana. A matana yisera al yeser echov al pi ritzon Hashem. Achash zochel lezet tchila yidei ma'isef. K'mo yishnemar yidat this week's parasha. Yidati chavashem v'gam motzasi chen b'yenoi Hashem haschein. Hashem gives you a little bit more. It's a girl. And the other guy didn't get it. Why? Why? No one knows why. Because you have chayn. Chayn is a matnas chinam. V'zeh nikra girl.
We don't assume it's random. We assume that it's
everything, of course, is determined. Right. But we don't know why, though. From our perspective, we have no idea. So this is really an out-of-the-ballpark home run Malbim. Telling you the difference between these three different concepts. A chelek, a kois, and a girl. And this is a popular pasuk. Hashem minos chelki v'choisi ata toimich goyroli. Beautiful mahesver in this pasuk from the Malbim. Okay, now look. Let's look over here. There's a very beautiful balaturim on this very page. On this page, the balaturim here is not something typical you have in Tanakh. I don't know how the balaturim got here. I don't think he wrote. There's no balaturim. I think the art scroll. Somebody wanted made an artificial balaturim on Tanakh. Here, balaturim wrote this. I don't think he wrote this. I think it's a collection from Chumash, right? Someone recreated a Baal HaTurim from what he wrote on Chumash, because he put everything together. It's a very beautiful Baal HaTurim.
You've seen the citations.
Right, so this is an incredible piece of work here. Do they have this in the other Mikrais Gedolos, or this is Archbold's invention? I don't have to look at the beginning of the Sefer. Look over here on page 122. Ata Taimuch Garuli Re'ei Anoch. Going back to Parashas Re'ei. Re'ei Anochi Nos L'Nich Mayoyim. Ki hamapil goyrolim chaveroi mechaseh ha goyrolois v'hachalokim shlo yivor chaveroi chelik hayofe. Ordinarily, when you take a lottery, there's a lottery, so you don't let the people just grab. You, whatever, everything is covered. and you know that's what the lottery is all about. So that no, it's not. No one has a choice. It's a lottery, and whatever comes out from the lottery, that's what you get. Aval, so here by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's different. Aval ata you Hashem re'ei ha-gorolois u're'ei ha-chalokim. You in the lottery that it says over here, toivich goyroli, Hashem's lottery is different. Hashem shows you all the different parts. Well, what is a lottery? Yeah, let's say you want to divide a piece of land. And there are brothers. Let's say there's a Yerush of land. And there are many brothers. Some of the land is rocky, is not suitable for planting. Some of the land is no idius, beinonis, ziburius. Three qualities in the Gemara, you always have this principle. There are three qualities of land. The best, the middle, and the poor quality. And you have a Yerusha, there are five brothers, and they can divide, let's say there are three brothers. Who's going to get the idius? Who's going to get the ziburius? Who's going to get the beinonis? How are you going to divide the land? So, we'll say it's not fair, you can't go, no, it is fair, because whoever gets the ziburius gets much, much more. Okay, 10 acres of ziburius is equal in value to 1 acre of idius. What do people want? They still want the idius. That's what the Gemara says. Even though in the market, they're equal. On the market, how much is 10 acres of ziburius? $1 million. How much is 1 acre of idius? $1 million. What does the average person want? I want the idius. Why? It's easy to sell.
Quality over quantity.
It's easy to sell. It takes more effort to sell the ziburius. I'll get it. At the end of the day, I'm going to get it. I'll get the $1 million. But, you know, it's unpleasant to go through the process of putting it up for sale. It is. I'll get it in 5 minutes. I just go to shul during Chazar Sashatz. I let it be known during Chazar Sashatz that I have idiots for sale. By the time we finish, Makuleinu, it's already sold. It's already sold. But if I'm putting up for sale my ziburis, it's going to take until Musaf. It's going to take, my zebra will take until Musaf, until it's sold. But it'll be sold. So it's equal in value. But it's just an unpleasantness. So what do you do when you have a goyro? So you have the first person. Let's say you have three brothers. The three brothers. Okay, we're going to divide up. They're all worth $1 million. But one is idius, ziburius, beinonis. What would you like? We're going to do a goyro. We don't let you take it. We don't give you a choice. We cast lots. And whoever wins, wins. Whatever you get, you get. By the Ribbono Shel Olam, Hashem says, no, when I cast lots, it's done in a very different way. I put in front of you the idius, the beinonis, and the ziburius, and I say to the Jewish people, come, take the idius. Take the idius. I put your hand on the idius. The goyrol of Hashem is not like the goyrol of the Umay Soil of the world. And that's a very important, this is a very important Balaturim when we come to Purim. Hu ha-goral, he peel poor. Hu ha-goral. Purim is about the goralos. Purim casts light. You have to work on this. But here we have Choymer Ledrush. Choymer, there was once a website called the Rabbi's Notebook. The Rabbi's Notebook, that was the name of I'm sure it's still there, the Rabbi's Notebook, but one of the rabbis will give you like Choymer Lidrush. Here, it's an incredible revelation of what it means of the Goyrol by Hashem, especially when it comes to Purim, which is all about Goyrolos. Purim, his Goyrol, turned into our blessing. Re'ei, ki amapil Goyrol im chaveroi mechaseh ha-goyrolos v'ha-chalokim shelo yivr ha-chaveroi chelik ha-yofe avu ato re'ei ha-goyrolos u'rei ha-chalokim uvochart b'chayim v'zehu ato tamich goyroli she'ato tamich yodi l'itna al ha-goyrol ha-toyev liver oisai. Okay, that is a very beautiful piece. Let me see if anything else that is extremely important before we wind down. There's one more piece I want to mention, Chaim HaSanoch. Okay, we're running out of time here. There's a lot of nice things here, but we're limited because I babble too much. Pasuk Ches, the Chaim HaSanoch, Shivis Yashem Lenegdi Samit. Okay, on page 125. 125, Shivis Yashem Lenegdi Samit, Efshir Shivis Yiruach Hashem Di Beboi, the Zohar Lemidas Hanishtivan, page 125, the Chaim HaSanoch, on Pasuk Ches. Pasiches. I'm going here to the Pasiches. Shridis Yashem Lenegdi Summit. He says over here that the word Shivisi is, let's read the whole thing together. Evsha Shivisi, Ruach Hashem Dibeboy. The Zach Lemidas Hanish Levon. What is the Midas Hanish? We explain. Shakas Rav Chaim Salavavis. The Hainu Im Yichabeduhu O Im Yivazuhu Hakol Etzloi Bishaveh The Habizoyoin V'Yakavoid Shokoloe Ninu. Okay, this is an incredible concept from the Chaim Salavavis. There is something they calls the Midas Hanish Levon. Oh, Dr. Fruchter. Shalom Aleichem. Good to see you. Midas Hanishtavon. What is this concept? A very interesting concept called Midas Hanishtavon. Everything is the same. It's a very dangerous concept. It's very dangerous. But here, the Chovas Halvavas is discussing a unique situation where it's the same for good, for blessing. What do we mean it's the same for blessing? Hanishtavon, that if someone insults you, you don't get insulted. It's no different than if someone gives you a compliment. You know how to deal with criticism. It's an incredible art. How many people do you know that can deal with criticism? Some people, they go meshuggah. You say to someone, you insult them, or you show that they're wrong, or they made a mistake, they go berserk. They go berserk. Politicians, they need to know how to do this. They need to know public figures. Public figures, that's the difference between the men and the boys. When a public figure is criticized, and it's inevitable, how does he respond? That you know, do you accept the criticism? You're right, or do you say no?
The race card.
Okay. There are, it's an art, and it's an incredible talent. It's an incredible talent. Not to lose your cool. Know when to give in, and know when to save face and just twist. You know. To twist your, you know, to use the words the right way, to spin it, it's an art. It's an art, and it's an incredible chachma. And this is what the Chovas Halevavos calls Midas Hanishtavon. Now, he doesn't mean it in the secular, just politicians, you know, we're not dealing with Sheker V'chol, we're dealing with you know, good people who make mistakes. How do you deal with criticism? So that's called the Midas Hanishtavon, and he calls it over here Shokoy Lo'e. They're equal. Not they're equal. It doesn't mean they're equal. It means you know how to deal with it. Yes, exactly. So he says, V'omar, look at this beautiful parish. V'omar, the Zoche Lozem Yishum de Hashem Lenegdi Summit. Unbelievable Pshan the Pasek. Shivisi, it's a drush what he says, I love this drush. Shivisi, David is saying, I was zoiche, I merited the nida of Shivisi. David was the king, the ultimate politician. He was a politician, David HaMelech. He wasn't just a person, he wasn't just a king, he wasn't just a Rebbe, he wasn't just a Talmud, he was a politician. Shivisi. I merited to the nida, what the Chovas Halevavos calls the Midas Hanishtavon. If you compliment me, I don't let it get to my head. I don't need to go buy a new hat. My head doesn't swell. If you insult me, I don't go meshuggah. I hear what you say, I accept the criticism, and if you're right, I will confess. If I'm wrong, then I'm sorry, I disagree with you in a respectful way, and I, you know, I hold my own. I'm sorry. David says, I know how to deal with people. I know how to deal with compliments. I know how to deal with insults. I have an equilibrium in my personality, my nature. I have mastered this art. You can count the people who have mastered this art on their fingers in the whole world. People who have zoiche to the midas hanishtavon. David says, Shivisi, Miloshon Shaveh, everything is equal. I mastered the art. How? What's the secret? It's because, you know why? Hashem Lenegdi Summit. Because I am a religious person. I put Hashem in front of me continuously, consistently. I daven, I learn. Everything that I do is through Hashem. It's through the Torah. I follow the rules, I've practiced, I've studied, I've learned, I've davened, and this has nurtured, molded my midos, where I can say, Shivitzi, I mastered the midas hanishtava. Okay, we're going to stop here. Nisham on Monday. We're going to move on to Mizmar Yud Zayin.
I had a thing about Uman.
Yeah. Okay, we'll see. We shall see.
natural. How long did it take to get there from? Wow.
Okay, Rabbis, let's begin. Let's talk a couple ideas in the parasha.